Corinthians, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Get to preach in a lot of churches while we're back here, but there is something special about being here at Fairhaven. And you all are in our hearts, in our prayers, as we continue to move forward and seeking the Lord's will. Tonight I want to preach something very basic, but I think it's a very important reminder for us as Christians, whether we've been saved for 1 year or 10 years or 40 years. I think all of us occasionally need to be reminded of how it all started. So I want to preach tonight. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We see here the apostle is teaching about his ministry. The ministry that God has blessed him and God has used him here and that God has given to him. And we see here the gospel in verse 3. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. The gospel is so vitally important. Look at verse number 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Look at these words in the middle of the verse. The light of that glorious gospel. That colossal message. That message that transcends all times, all peoples, all civilizations, all cultures, all ethnic groups, all languages. The gospel of Jesus Christ, it is comprehensive, is it not? It is all-inclusive. It is far-reaching. The gospel that is all-extensive, not respecting any ethnic group over another, not respecting cultural background, skin color, education, that gospel of Jesus Christ, and that is how it all started for every one of us, is it not? Amen. We owe a great debt to the gospel. And before you turn me off tonight and say, oh, it's such an elementary doctrine, but let's think about it. I believe that it's something we need to consider throughout our lives, that we need to pay attention to that wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray tonight. Thank you, Lord, for that glorious gospel. We know that Jesus Christ is the one who paid for it. Lord, that you have given that sacred trust unto us tonight, and we have a responsibility. Lord, help us to be good stewards of the gospel. Help us tonight that we would take your word and apply it to our lives. Lord, we are nothing. We are of no rank, and we have no monopoly on the gospel. All these things came from God. We thank you, Lord, that you are able to do all these great things, and Lord, that we can have that wonderful gospel. Lord, help us to rejoice in it. Help us to treasure it. Help us to be passionate about it. And pray you blessing these things in Christ's name. Amen. Think about it. If there was only one place in all the world where you could buy your groceries. Think about it. If there was only one place to buy bread or one place to find clean water. If there was only one market that in Cambodia we would sell one market that sells rice, well, that would be pretty important. And the whole country would flock to that one place to get their bag of rice, because that's what we eat every day. Think about it. If there was only one hospital or one pharmacy, well, that would be a tremendously important place. And think about it tonight. Consider the fact that there is only one. There is only one gospel of Jesus Christ. There is not another. There is nothing in time past or time future that you will find to replace that wonderful gospel. And yet all around us, we have the gospel sort of cheapened. You have gospel programs. You have gospel radio. We have gospel songs, gospel comedy, gospel, they even have gospel laughter. Gospel magic, gospel organizations. There's even a church called Full Gospel. And if you go check them out, they don't have the full gospel either. But you understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is so vitally important to us today. And although we've been saved for all these years and we're just kind of like, well, that was back there in time past. And oh, thankful for the gospel because that's my passport to heaven. That's my ticket. I'm going to heaven. But you think about the gospel and the great price that was paid for your gospel. That gospel of Jesus Christ, you see, God was the originator. God the Father, he was the origin of the gospel. He planned it before the world was created. Jesus Christ was the one who paid for it. And if you read the letters of the apostle, he says the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost revealed the gospel to the apostle Paul. And the apostle then takes the word of God, and we have the word of God today that was revealed to the apostle Paul. Thank God for the gospel of Jesus Christ and how it was brought down to us today. The Bible says, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. You see, God planned before the world began. He planned out the gospel as a plan of our salvation. Are you thankful for the gospel tonight? Every one of us, we are debtors to that wonderful gospel. There is nothing greater. We're going to talk about the gospel a little bit tonight. And the point number one, I want us to all consider that we should know the gospel. Every one of us should know the gospel. I understand this is Thursday night, and these are members of Fairhaven Baptist Church. And hope and pray that everyone in this building knows for sure that if you were to slip out into eternity, that you have taken Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know the gospel. Maybe there's someone, one single person here tonight doesn't understand the gospel. We want to take the Bible and show you that Jesus Christ, he has prepared the gospel for you. Let's take our Bibles and turn over to 1 Corinthians 15, if you turn a few pages back. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand. Let me stop right here. The Apostle Paul, now hold on, in the New Testament, the word gospel is found 98 times. 98 times in the New Testament, and 75 out of those 98 times is found in the Apostles' writings. So before we cross off and say the gospel is so elementary, well, then why does the apostle use the gospel so many times in his letters, in his epistles? The gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, I declare unto you the gospel, which I have preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Are you saved tonight? Do you stand in the gospel? We have such a steadfast, an unmovable gospel. Praise the Lord. And he says here what it is. Verse number 3, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. How then? Look at that. How Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And all of God's people said, because there is a gospel. The gospel in a nutshell, it's right here. And if we don't see it in these verses, that means it's not a part of the gospel. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is so plain. And yet so many have tripped over it. It's not found in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. Then why does everybody have to dilute the gospel? They're corrupting the gospel. So many places around the world claim to preach the gospel, but they're not preaching a clear gospel. If it is not of grace, it's because they've added works to it. They've diluted it. And yes, there are so many religions. You know, when I think of pure and think of unadulterated, living in Cambodia, we get to enjoy fresh fruit. And you've never ate fresh fruit until you go and pick it off the tree, all right? Mangoes, pineapples, bananas, okay, oranges, okay, you can get all that stuff over there. And then they take it and they press it. They put it into a machine or whatever. They can make fruit juice with it. Okay? And that's all natural. Okay? It's not processed. It doesn't have all these additives in it. You understand what I'm saying? When you get a fruit juice, and you think you're getting a good deal, and then you take it home and you read on the label, it says 5%, right? 10%. You're like, ah, you just got scammed, right? Pure, unadulterated, all natural. That's what I prefer. Well, think about the gospel. Pure, unadulterated, nothing new or improved, nothing updated about it, the same old gospel still works for us today. Don't try to improve on it. Don't try to make it your own version of the gospel. It is the true gospel of Jesus Christ, and the gospel is that Jesus left his home in heaven. He came down to this earth. He came for you and me. He came to pay for our sins. He came to take our crimes upon himself. He died for our crimes, not for his own. We have so much to be thankful for in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you see, all around the world, everybody has their own way to get to heaven. They have their own remedies. They have their own plan. Because they don't want to follow the plan that Jesus Christ has already prepared for us. Do you truly know the gospel of Jesus Christ? He is your only hope. And as soon as you cross over the threshold into eternity, it is that gospel of Jesus Christ that you have to cling to. It was a gospel that Mrs. Johnson clung to, that she made a decision years ago to put her hope and her trust in Jesus Christ. Think about the gospel. The Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That gospel has great power. There's so much we could talk about the gospel for hours and hours. I understand this is not an exhaustive study on the gospel. I'm basically skimming the surface tonight, but think about the wonderful gospel of Christ. The apostle says in 1 Timothy, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I'm thankful for the day that a pastor in Missouri took me into his house and sat down and opened the Bible and showed me that I was a wicked sinner. And showed me that I was on my way to hell and there was nothing that I could do for myself. The only hope that I could have, the only trust was in Jesus Christ. Not in myself. And I asked Jesus Christ to wash away my sins and to take me to heaven when I die. I'm so thankful for that wonderful gospel that's already been paid for. Yes, it's free to me, but it wasn't free to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ paid the debt for my sin. Thankful for that song we used to sing as we were kids. And it goes like this. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, the whole day long. Give you several things about the gospel real quick before we go on to the next point. But the gospel, first of all, the gospel is single. There is no other. The gospel is single. The apostles tells us, be careful, beware of another gospel. Because there's so many preaching a diluted gospel. Not only is it single, but it is simple. Aren't you glad tonight that you don't have to take a trip to Mecca like the Islamic people do? Aren't you glad tonight that you don't have to go give offerings and go into the temples like they do in Cambodia? Because they've sold their soul to Buddhism and they believe in karma, they believe in reincarnation, they believe in all these family traditions, the Eightfold Path. So many things they're striving for. It's very unclear, it's so relative. What's right for you doesn't mean it's right for me. There's nothing black and white. They don't have a Bible to hold on to or to believe in. And then they also mix it up with Hinduism. So not only they have Buddhism, but now they have Hinduism. Buddhism says look within yourself for that inner power and to escape all the suffering. And then Hinduism says There's spirits everywhere. God's all around us. God's in the trees. God's in the rocks, in the animals. There's people gods. There's a host of gods out there. And you think they have it figured out, right? Right? In the Hindu world, everything's relative also. There's spirits everywhere. And you see, we in Cambodia, they're hard to witness to because they don't really know exactly what they believe either. So much of it is just passed down their family traditions. One boy, as I was trying to witness to him, and I told him about his sin, every one of us, we have a sin nature. And he said, I have no sin. And then I got a witness to him, talked to him some more. And he said, wait a minute, I do have one sin. I killed a chicken. All right? He killed a chicken. Really? Yeah, I killed a chicken one time. So that's my one sin from my life. And why do they say it's a sin? Because in Buddhism, you can't kill anything. You're not supposed to kill any animals. Okay? So what do? Well, they pay somebody else to go kill and butcher the animals, you know? So, you know, the mosquitoes, they're supposed to do this, just swat them off, you know, because they don't want to be guilty of killing, but it's a joke, right? But thank God we have a simple gospel. Jesus said, except ye become as little children, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. It is a simple gospel, and thirdly, it is sufficient. Thank God, this, the gospel of Jesus Christ, he is sufficient to save, and he is able to save to the uttermost. Amen? We have the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ, and he has paid for my sins once and for all upon the tree. And therefore, we owe a great debt to the gospel. I'm thankful that many years ago, as it was testified on Sunday, that they began to study the Bible, and somebody just reminded me today of how what a blessing that my parents got to leave the Amish and got to see the truth and understand really what the gospel is all about. And it took a layman, just a regular working man, and he would, you know, they hired him to take them to town or go wherever they needed to go. And so while they're in the car, he's taking the Bible, witnessing to them. And praise God, it doesn't have to be a preacher, a missionary, or somebody, you know, of status, but or whatever. It doesn't have to be. It can be anybody. Can be a witness for the Lord. And praise God for this man who cared enough for souls, and he wanted to reach out and now see what God has done, and God is able to do all these things through the gospel. Secondly, I want you to think about not only know the gospel, but we should also show the gospel. And this has to do more with living out the gospel in our everyday lives. Think about the gospel. Go to Philippians 1:27. Philippians 1:27. Let's look at this verse. And it points our attention to living out the gospel. Verse 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. You see, there is great power in the gospel. Romans 16:25, I'm going to read it here, says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. In the gospel, we have the power to live the Christian life. We have the power to overcome sin. We have the power to live in that new life that he's given us. And so therefore it says, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel. Jesus came to deliver us from the power of sin. He came to deliver us from the power of Satan. Thank God that we have the gospel, and the gospel teaches us to crucify this flesh. Every single day we have a battle with this flesh. Sometimes we become proud. Sometimes we become angry. Sometimes we become all frustrated and all stressed out. But you know, the gospel teaches us that we have a new spirit. We have Jesus Christ living within us, and he has delivered us from the power of the flesh. We don't have to be enslaved. We don't have to wear those chains and those shackles of sin and of the flesh and of this world. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Jesus Christ. God wants us to live out the gospel. Oh yes, we have that passport to get to heaven. Praise the Lord, my sin account has been wiped off. And I have the righteousness of Jesus Christ applied to my heart. But every single day, we still live with this whole burden of the flesh. Only let it be as it becometh the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's speaking to Christians. He's not speaking to the lost here. But praise the Lord, we can live a victorious Christian life. Amen? God wants to let that gospel, that power, he wants to unleash that power of the gospel in our lives. And we can live a victorious life, a life that is shining the light of the gospel. I think of the church in Cambodia, and several years ago, as we're teaching on the family and teaching on marriage, and we had some of our young families come up and say, we got married before, but we didn't get married in a Christian way. We just had a heathen wedding, a heathen ceremony, and with the spirits, and you know, and they do all these ceremonial things. And they said, we'd like to have a Christian wedding. And so, and they already had their families, you know, and they said, but we want to have our vows, and we want to have, you know, a holy matrimony, a ceremony with God in it, the Christian way. So after church on a Sunday morning, we prepared for it, and we had them stand up front, and they restated their vows. And praise the Lord, it was just so nice to see them wanting to do it God's way. And God has blessed that, and there were several families that did that, and it was just encouraging to me to see God continue to change their lives. Because they're tired of that old sin-sick way. Tired of the old world and their traditions of Buddhism and Hinduism. But you know, God does those things. And God continues to use the gospel to change their lives. And you know, if he can change those people in a third world country, far off in their families and their businesses, God can do it here in America too. We need to let the power of the gospel continue to change us. I think of men that used to work on Sundays, and they run their businesses. I know there's some people have to work on Sunday, but if you can, they shouldn't be working on Sunday if they can get off. And I know that they had their own business. They're able to be self-employed, and praise God that they decided we're going to put the Lord first, even if Sunday is very profitable in their business. And they said, I think we need to give it up, and we need to seek ye first the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord, that is the gospel at work. The gospel teaches us to put God first and to put down the flesh. The gospel teaches us to love our families. The gospel teaches us to love one another. The gospel teaches us to forgive, does it not? God teaches us through the gospel how to conduct ourselves with each other. Now think of thirdly, we should also share the gospel. And to make it rhyme, I put sow the gospel. All right? So earlier we had show, now we have sow the gospel. So God wants his gospel to be spread. He wants it to be shared. Are you a recipient of the gospel tonight? God doesn't want you to be a dead-end Christian. He wants you to be a conduit Christian. He wants every one of us to be a channel. God wants every one of us to get busy about sharing the gospel. As we're out traveling, God convicts me that we need to pass out more tracts. Sometimes we come to a rest stop or something, and here's somebody else on the highway, you know, and they stop over, and we can give them a tract, and humanly speaking, we'll probably never see them again. But, you know, we could give them just a small piece of literature. This is something to show you what the gospel is. Here's what Jesus Christ can do for your life. Thank God we have good tracts. Thank God we have ways that we can communicate the gospel. You see, the gospel, Jesus Christ and his gospel, he could have used the angels. He could have used the messengers from heaven to proclaim the gospel. He could have used anything in nature. The Bible even says, Jesus at the temple, he said, if they did not praise me, then the rocks would cry out. All of nature would sing praises to God. He could have even inscribed it on the leaves. I mean, anything in nature, he could have inscribed the message of the gospel. But instead, he decided to choose us fallen creatures. He decided to use his own children, those who have experienced the gospel, those who have tasted the gospel for themselves. And Jesus says, go ye into all the world. Go ye and take my gospel. The Apostle Paul, he says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. He felt himself as a steward of this wonderful gospel. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Think about the gospel. And of all the times the apostle refers to the gospel, he calls it the gospel of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of peace, the gospel of your salvation. And at least twice he calls it my gospel. My gospel. He feels such a weight of responsibility to this wonderful gospel. You see, every one of us, we have a calling to the gospel, to share it. We are stewards, are we not? We ought to be stewards. We ought to understand that we are stewards because God has placed it in our care. And we need to be sharing the gospel with everyone that God would have us to speak to. Everyone that God puts in our path. I think of one of the ladies over there in our church. Her name is Ming Nguyen. All right? You guys like all these names, right? Got Ming, I got Boo, you got Tha Ye, and a lot of crazy names, right? One. Speaking of names, there was one kid that said, hello, my name, $1, $1. All right? And another time we were out door knocking, and I'm not kidding you, this man said, my name is Honeymoon, Honeymoon. All right? He didn't know what honeymoon meant. I think he liked the English word, and so he's like, yeah, my name's Honeymoon. Yeah. Okay. Crazy names. But praise the Lord. This lady Ming Niang, she got a burden for her neighbor down the alleyway a little bit. And she has some rooms there, some nice rooms that she rents out to people. And here in one of her rooms was a lady on her deathbed. The doctors didn't give her any hope. They said only a matter of weeks or months and she would be dying. Ming Nian got a burden for her, began to have Bible studies with her. Okay? And I know with Buddhist people, it's a lot of time, patience, and sowing the seed. And she began to study the Bible with her, and praise the Lord, after a few weeks of studying the Bible, this lady, she bowed her head and she asked the Lord to save her. And she became a believer in Christ. Praise the Lord, from Buddhist to believer. And God saved her soul. And she said, only a few weeks later, she said, now, when I go to sleep at night, I'm not fearing and quaking, trembling anymore. But she said, now I have real peace in my heart that if I die, I know where I will go. I know that I will be with Jesus. Praise God, only the gospel can give you such hope. The gospel has changed lives. And if you could go and see the people in Cambodia, there are people that used to be, girls used to be harlots. There are guys that used to be so corrupt, drunkards, run around on their wives and their husbands and just a terrible mess. But God has put these people, given such structure in their lives. And the Word of God. The Word of God is able to change lives far above we can ask or think. Think of how important the gospel is. We need to share it wherever we go. And the apostle tells us, I'm going to read this verse. You remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preach unto you the gospel of God. We can talk about politics, and we can talk about the weather, and we can talk about the pandemic, and we can talk about restrictions, and we can talk about everything else under the sun. But make sure, brethren, we don't forget the most important thing is that God wants us to tell them the gospel. We have a responsibility, a sacred, divine responsibility to give everyone the gospel whom we meet. God puts us close to them, and he puts our neighbors around us. He gives us family members. He gives people for us to minister to so that we would share the gospel. Every one of us have that sacred responsibility. Number four, with the gospel, I believe we need to also advance the gospel. I'm going to call this grow the gospel. We ought to grow the gospel. Invest in the gospel. Acts 1:8 says, after that ye have received power, ye shall be witnesses unto me. As one preacher put it this way, the gospel is only good news if it gets there in time. The gospel is not good news when it's too late. When they're already burning in hell for the penalty of their sin, the gospel is no longer good news to them. It's only good news if it reaches them in time. We need to advance the gospel. Philippians 1 speaks of the Apostle Paul when he had fellowship with the Philippians. But think about it. The Apostle is all the way off in the prison in Rome, and he's sending a letter to the Philippians hundreds and hundreds of miles away, and he says that we have fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Fellowship in the gospel? I don't believe he is referring to just, oh yeah, we understand the gospel and we have received it. And boy, we can have great fellowship. But if you read the book of Philippians, there was a channel of prayer, seeking God's favor and praying for one another. Don't you think that every one of us needs some more prayer? I think every one of us, especially through these crazy times, and with travel and all of this, we need more prayer. And God's working on all of us. How about getting more serious about prayer? Even as we're out traveling, I know in the last 2 months or so since we've been traveling, I thought travel in Cambodia is crazy, and it is. All right? But travel in the U.S. is also crazy. And I've seen more rollovers and accidents in the last 2 months than I think I've ever seen in America in my life. Just saying, we ought to be praying for one another. We need to pray for you all. And if you all would you pray for us? Every one of us need more prayer. And the apostle says, we have great fellowship in the gospel. I believe that there was much praying going on. And I think if there's anything we need nowadays, it is more prayer. As one old-time preacher said it this way, we have many organizers, but few agonizers. We have many players, but few prayers. We have many interferers, but few intercessors. We have many sleepers, but few weepers. Is there any wonder that we don't have the power of God upon our ministries if we don't pray? We can yell at them and scream at them, and we can talk until we're blue in the face. But if God is not in it, and God doesn't touch their hearts, and God doesn't use his word, it's all in vain. And it's a house of cards that's going to fall. We can prop it up, and oh, we can try to use some gimmicks and whatever, but it's not going to be lasting. We need more prayer. I believe there's also, we think of promoting the gospel and advancing it. Think about how they're even giving and partnering with the gospel. That churches, individuals, you consider how important it is to give so that the gospel can be spread. Thank God for so many churches in America that have a burden, a vision to get out the gospel to the beyond, to those countries outside the U.S. The 95%, 95% of the world's population is outside the U.S. What a great need for the gospel to penetrate those areas. And more churches, cities of 100,000, maybe one church. City of 100,000, 200,000, no churches. There's so many of them across Asia, you can't even count them all. And what are we doing? We're sitting here in the 5%. Oh yes, I'm not saying everyone should go. But I would say more of us ought to pray about what does God want. And maybe it is that God wouldn't have you to go, but God would have someone in your household to go. How about advancing the gospel? We're here in the comfortable 5%. Boy, we're blessed. Amen, we are. And, we have subsidies and, you know, we get all these things. Oh, and enjoy what you have, but so many people are still so miserable. America has a lot of miserable people, right? They have so much. But praise God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the end of our lives, when everything burns and everything fades away, only the gospel of Jesus Christ gives us hope, gives us inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for me and for you. How about advancing the gospel because Jesus Christ paid such a great price for it? Is there anything that he could ask of us that is too much to pay? Is there any sacrifice? No, it's not really a sacrifice. Just do what God would have you to do. Now, what about maybe God would use you to help someone else? To prepare a young person for service. Prepare someone else, maybe your child, and putting it before them that God might use them. God might call them. And no matter if you go or don't go, if God wouldn't call you, but you can help by praying, taking those prayer cards that are at the front desk, and taking the missionaries that are preaching God's word and praying for their churches, praying for their families, advancing the gospel. We're trying to grow the gospel because Jesus, there's only one way to heaven, and he's told us what the gospel is. We have received it. Now, how about advancing the gospel in our day? What are we doing to advance it? What would God have you to do? Oh, as a church, we're doing great. But what about individually? Oh, corporately, yes, the church is doing great, doing what God wants you to do. Oh, what about in your own heart, in your own family? But every one of us, God wants us to be serious about this wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. 75 times the apostle refers to it because everything that matters in his life is tied to that glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. It is found in that one Son of God, Jesus Christ, one and only, that came down to this earth, and he came for you and me. We have a glorious gospel to rejoice in. Think of how it changed the life of Paul. When he's coming to Damascus as a wicked, murdering vigilante, but he left the city of Damascus a blood-washed saint and excited about this wonderful new gospel. And I beg of you tonight, don't let the gospel wear off. Don't let it become old hat. Don't let it become, well, it's just something in my past, or it's just something I've made sure I've got it. I'm good to go. Well, how about living out the gospel, sharing the gospel, advancing in the gospel, advancing the gospel, investing in it, preparing others to go reach those, doing all we can for the glory of God because our time is limited. The gospel is only good if it reaches them in time. Lord, would you work in us tonight? Give us a burden for those who have not heard. Give us a burden to reach out to those lands where there are no churches, no preachers. Oh God, would you bring the gospel? And would you use some in our midst to take that gospel to them? Before I close tonight, I want to think about, I give you a couple of stories about what the gospel has done. But years ago, there was over 100 years ago, there was a story told about the father of evolution, Mr. Charles Darwin, visited a remote Pacific island. And in search of evidence for evolution, he found some people so uncivilized that he predicted they would still be evolving. They lived like animals. They had no manners. They just are moral people, you know. And he thought, well, these people here, they're cannibalistic, they're so primitive. And he thought, well, it must be years and years they evolved to be like the rest of us, civilized human beings. But he found out only a few years later, to much his astonishment, as he returned to the island in the Pacific, he found out that there was a major revolution, unrecognizable. He asked what happened, what in the world, what was the secret of this transformation? And you know what the answer was, right? The missionaries came. And with the missionaries came that wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. And when they got saved, they began to live a real life. They began to treat each other with respect. They began to have normal families and normal civilization. The wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. We could tell you many stories about what the gospel has done. It's not because of us. It's not because of where we're from. It's not because of our intellect. It's because the gospel of Jesus Christ is able to save sinners and able to change lives. I think of two grandparents years ago. This old grandpa, he's called a Tha, and his wife is called Ye. And they were living way out in the province, far away from Siem Reap. And they had lived their whole life for Buddhism. And they were willing to not only live for Buddhism, but to die in Buddhism. But praise the Lord, they have a daughter, and she has a family there in our church in Siem Reap, and they are saved. And her husband is doing a fine job with overseeing the church while we're back here. But their daughter was praying every day for their salvation. Even though they're in their 70s and they're, you know, they're busy around their house doing little things and chores and all that. Her dad has a very strange job. He was a fortune teller. And so in his part of the province, he was locally known as a fortune teller where, you know, if they're gonna start a family or if they're gonna build a house or if they do anything big time, they're gonna go to the fortune teller to get his blessing. And he's gonna tell them what day of the month and all this, you know. So, you know, get the blessing from Mr. Fortune Teller. So that was his business. You know, in the spirit world and all of that, they see that as very important. But God was working, and this man and wife, Tha and Ye, one day, the Ye, she's selling stuff on the roadside there, and it was dark at night, and she got a snake bite. Not for sure if it was a scorpion or a snake bite, but it seems that it was a snake bite, and her foot swelled up. They rushed her to the hospital. They thought she was going to die. She's scared to death. She thinks, well, maybe I need to give more offerings. Maybe I need to go see the witch doctor. You know, and all of these fears, but only a few months later, if she didn't die, praise the Lord, and only a few months later, there's a thief came into their house, and in the area in the back of their house, there's an open area where they have their kitchens, open air kitchen. And she's back there making her food, and she's just working away, and this man comes in. He's looking for money and looking for other things, and he has a hatchet. And he starts demanding some things from her, and she wouldn't give it to him. He tries to kill her. Took a hatchet, hit her in the head. She has blood and profuse wounds, and she, the man ran away. They, praise the Lord, she didn't die, but they rushed her to the hospital again. This lady, scared to death, okay, all of her life, she's never had problems like this. Okay, she was a good Buddhist. She had good karma, hoping for a good reincarnation, right? But now she's scared to death. The spirits, everybody's against her. Snake bite, almost died from Mr. Hatchet-wielding thief here. And she's barely hanging on. Her and her husband, what in the world? We've lived in Buddhism all our lives, and now we come down to the end of our life. What do we have? No peace, no hope. They finally came to Siem Reap again, and they visited their children who are Christians. And praise God, they began to read the Bible. They said, well, you all are always happy, and you all have this peace and contentment. They said, we want to know more about this God that you all are introducing to us. And they began to study the Bible, and literally within 3 months, praise God, they confessed their sins and asked Jesus Christ to save them from their sin. And they said goodbye to Buddhism. And they said hello to Jesus in the Bible. Praise God. The gospel of Jesus Christ is able to change their lives. You know, the gospel continues to change us. Or maybe we become hard and kind of crusty, the whole thing. But praise God, the gospel ought to get us excited. And the gospel ought to get us busy, because there is so much to live for. And we've come to the end of our lives. It is that gospel that we have to cling to for all of eternity. Praise God, it started with the gospel. And these 4 points tonight, think about knowing the gospel, living out the gospel, and think about sharing the gospel, or even advancing the gospel. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and how much we are blessed because we have become recipients of the gospel. Lord, help us tonight that we would take the time to consider what a great obligation we have, a responsibility, a sacred trust that God has given us. And Lord, tonight we want to get busy. Lord, that we want to do right by the gospel. God, that we would consider all that you have done and how much you expect of us tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and the grace of that glorious gospel. We praise the saints in Christ's name.